Well, good evening. It's good to see everybody that's here in person tonight. Glad to have you on our social media platforms, whether you're on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. Be sure to heart, like, share, subscribe, follow us, retweet us there on Twitter. Do all those things. We have people that watch us on all those platforms. So thank you for being there with us. Want to encourage you to comment there on those. That just helps to get the word out. So welcome to the service tonight. Also want to remind those who are on our phone live streaming, thank you for being there with us also. And if you need that number, I'll be glad to give that to you, give that to someone this morning so that they could share it with someone who didn't have internet access where they were going to be today. So you can use that anywhere that you need. Just let me know. We'll be glad to give that to you. If you're at home and you have access to the church website, go to highlandbaptistchurch.com. It's under the info tab that you can download the worship bulletin. Those are on the tables out here in the hallways, a few in the windowsill I know over here, maybe over there also. So be sure to grab one of those with all the upcoming activities. Also, we have our children's worship bulletins, one for ages 3 and up, one for ages 7 and up. So be sure to grab that. That's also under that info tab on the website. And also under the info tab is the prayer list for this week. So I want to encourage you to be praying for each one of those individuals. Two that we did not mention this morning in adding to the prayer list, which we added them Wednesday night, was Haley Brazier. Her grandmother had passed away. And then also Erin Murray, her aunt, had passed away in Bristol, and they've been up there this weekend with that. So just wanted to remind you of those. And then just an update on Leanne. She did come home this afternoon. They're going to bring in home health and do therapy at home. So just keep her in prayer that everything will go well. She won't fall or have any issues with her blood pressure at home. Want to encourage you too, if you have access there on the church website, go to that far right hand side, click the Give Online tab there. You can do your online offering, real easy platform set up there for you to do that. You can click the little drop down and choose how you want to designate that to our regular budget offering or to any of the other individual offerings that are there that we have on the list. And you can do that from here in person as well as through your envelopes that are in the pew in front of you. So don't forget, if you've not signed up for Primetimers for Tuesday, City Sandwich is who we're catering from. It's going to be chicken salad sandwiches, fruit and cold salads, and it's going to be really good. They always are really good for us, and so we want to encourage you to be here. Sign up so we'll know how many to make sure we've covered all our bases with that, so be sure to sign that up. And then also don't forget the lemonade stand fundraiser that's going to be going on for the Isaiah 117 house. That's going to be happening on July the 18th. If you want to help to sign up to bring, maybe you want to help man the tables, or you want to bring lemonade for any one of those times, or some cookies or whatever to go along with that, let Pastor Matt know, but sign up on that sheet on the board in the foyer also. And then don't forget the mission trip to Calgary. That's coming up pretty quickly here soon. July the 19th through the 26th is the one I'll be on, as well as July 26th through the 6th will be the next one with another group. So be in prayer for all of those teams that are going to be going to Calgary, Alberta, Canada on those mission trips. Don't forget the Tullahoma Utility Authority that we're collecting the crayons for, 6-packs, 8-packs, 12-packs, 24 packs, however you want to do that, however they come, be sure to grab those. That kind of sounds odd, doesn't it? 6-pack, I think I said. It's 8-packs, 16 packs, and 24 packs. So be sure to pick up those. Lots about back to school sales. This is for the Tullahoma Housing Authority's back to school bash backpacks that they'll be giving out locally. So if you want to help with that, there are boxes set up at each one of the entrances, this door, the one out here, as well as the fellowship hall door that you can drop those in. And then coming up that last Sunday of the month, don't forget that's our second of our three 75th anniversary celebration services. There's people who are working to get more pictures ready. We've got our display out here, but we may move that around some so that some people can see it in other places. But just wanted to remind you that there will be some new videos that will be screening with some of the newer pictures. They're older pictures, but they'll be newer for us to see. That'll be screen on the screens also. And then also that Saturday before the Sunday, when Brother Wayne Wester comes and preaches, Providence Baptist Church choir is going to be here in a concert at 6 p.m. That evening. And so I want to encourage you, there are some signs down here at the front if you want to grab any of those to share with businesses, to put up in any other places. It'd be a great resource for you to take to share with others the word about that concert. So I think that's all that I have in the way of announcements. So Brother Mike, if you'll come and lead us.
Take your hymnals, if you would, and stand. You knew I was going to say that, didn't you? Let's sing hymn 450, I Need Thee Every Hour. It's Pat.
I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord.
Take your Bibles tonight, if you will, and turn to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 1 down through verse 13 is what we're going to be looking at tonight. We're still continuing this walk through Hebrews. There's a lot that's in it that we could spend a lot of time on, but we're going to be moving fairly quickly through these 13 verses tonight. I've entitled this message, God's Rest, and you're going to understand that as we come to some of the verses here as it talks about the rest that we can have in Jesus Christ. So we're going to begin with verse 1 down to verse 2, and then we'll come back and pick up some of those other verses as we go through the message tonight. So verse 1 and verse 2, let's stand as we read God's Word. In honor of his word. Therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. For good news came to us just as to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them because they were not united by faith with those who listened. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your word tonight. We pray that your word would be alive, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you'll use your word to give us encouragement in our hearts, especially for those who don't know Christ as our Lord and Savior. We pray that they would get that settled in their heart today. But Lord, for those who are in Christ, I pray that this message would encourage us to a more faithful walk than ever before with you. Help us, Lord, to experience the rest that we can have, not just in eternity, but here in the present, in the presence of Jesus Christ and his power in our hearts and in our lives. So bless your word tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. You ever been so tired that you just can't think straight? I think all of us have been there at some point. You know, we're not talking about physical exhaustion, really, though all have felt that way. What we're talking about is a soul that's weary, a heart that's heavy, a life that feels like is just running on empty. You know, in a world that is spinning faster and faster and faster each day, a world that is full of all kind of noise and worry and striving in our lives, God offers to us something precious: rest. Now, I don't want to put anybody to sleep tonight, but I do want you to experience some rest in your soul. And we're not talking about a nap. We're not talking about a vacation of rest. We're talking about a deep, soul-satisfying rest that only Jesus can give, that only the power of the Holy Spirit can bring into your heart and into your life. So in these verses of chapter 4, verse 1 down through verse 13, the Holy Spirit here, through the writer of Hebrews, is sounding a trumpet call to every one of us. The trumpet call is this, is that God's rest is available to you. You can find a perfect peace and a perfect rest, but you've got to enter it by faith. You've got to trust in Jesus Christ. So often we don't want to be patient. We don't want to trust. We want it now, or we don't want it at all. And so this passage is a warning, but it's also a promise, and it's also an invitation all rolled up into one. It's a message for people who are saved, and it's a message for people who are unsaved. So as you grab your Bible, as you open your heart, as we dive into this text, we want to discover how you can find God's rest in a restless world. So I want you to notice first and foremost here the promise of God's rest. Now, you know, when you read promises in the Word of God, that you can count on those promises. It's not empty words. When God says something, He means it. He backs it up. He's always been faithful. He is faithful today, and He will be faithful even tomorrow. So when you come to verse 1 of chapter 4, what's the very first word? Therefore. You'll notice that as we began chapter 3, what was the first word of chapter 3? Therefore. And so He's giving us some more therefore. It's a signpost. Chapter 3 was a signpost pointing back to chapter 1 and chapter 2. This, therefore, in chapter 4 is pointing back to chapter 3. It's a signpost pointing back to there. The writer of Hebrews had been talking about in chapter 3 and the previous chapters about the children of Israel and about how they had missed the promised land because of one thing, the title of the message last week. Does anybody remember the title last week? Oh, we have to have pop quizzes then, don't we? Unbelief. And that's the reason that they missed out on the promised land. That's the reason we miss out so often on the blessings of God, is our unbelief. And you remember what happened to them. They wandered in the wilderness. They grumbled. They doubted. And God said in verse 11 of chapter 3, they shall not enter my rest. So their failure wasn't just about missing that plot of land called the promised land. It wasn't just about missing that piece of land. It was about missing the peace and the provision of trusting God. Now, verse 1 here in chapter 4 says that there's still a promise of rest, not only for the Jews when the writer of Hebrews wrote this, but there's also a promise of rest for us today. And so notice the warning that he gives us in this verse. He says, therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, and it still stands today, here's what he says we need to do. Let us fear. Let us fear. Now, that's not a suggestion there. That's a command. What he means there, and what God is saying, is you need to be on guard lest you miss my rest because of your unbelief. So verse 2 then comes along and drives home the point of verse 1. So notice again verse 2. For good news came to us, just as to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them because they were not united by faith with those who had listened. So here, the Israelites, you understand, as we talked about last time, they had heard the promises of God. I mean, think about it. They had heard and they had been praying for God to deliver them out of Egypt for so many years, hundreds of years, and finally God brings Moses and brings them out of Egypt. We talked about that, how in this past chapter he's referring back to Psalm 95. Well, again, in this chapter, he's referring back to Psalm 95. He's referring back to the history of Israel. They had experienced God's promises. God had promised, I'm going to take you to this promised land. Well, when they get to the Red Sea, they think it's all over. And they begin to grumble and they begin to complain. And they say, why did you bring us out here to die? And that's so much like us. We begin to grumble and complain when things don't work out the way we think they ought to work out. We think that we've come up against a wall, that there's no way out, there's no way in. And God says, just trust me. Just trust me. I'm going to see you through to the other side. And so they had experienced God's blessing there. You'll remember we talked about chapter 95 in Psalms also, which we're going to read in just a moment, that God provided manna from heaven that was on the ground every day for them to pick up and eat. They would only pick up what they needed for that day. If they picked up more, it would spoil. But they picked up what they needed for that day, and it was good and it was fine. And then on that sixth day, they would pick up double portion so that they would have enough for the time of the Sabbath. Now, what's the Sabbath? It's the time of rest. That's going to be important when we come to that passage also. But God provided for them that manna from heaven. He provided quail when they complained and grumbled and said, we're tired of eating this bread. We want some meat. We want some good old-fashioned chicken. Sent it to them in the form of quail. But they got some birds, and they were there for them to be able to eat. And you see that over and over and over and over, God provided for them. They heard about the promises of God. They experienced the promises of God, but it did not do them a bit of good because they didn't believe it. They had the message, but they lacked the faith to mix with it. It's kind of like when you go to the doctor and you get that prescription from your doctor and you go and you fill it at the pharmacy and you take that little bag home with you and you put it in the bathroom or wherever you put it in the medicine cabinet or wherever that you were planning on taking it, and you just sit it there on the shelf. You never take it out of the bag. You never use the medicine. What good would that medicine be? It won't help you if it stays in the bag. It won't help you if it stays in the bottle. Well, what we see here is that's the same truth for us that he's speaking of here. You know, today the gospel of Jesus Christ is being preached. It's the good news that Jesus died for our sins, that he rose from the dead, and that he offers for us eternal life. But hearing it is not enough. There's a lot of people who have heard the gospel, but they've not received the gospel. They've not, by faith, trusted in the gospel message. So hearing it is not enough. You've got to mix it with faith. I mean, think about this. Imagine a man who's starving to death, And he sits down at a table, and they come and they put this great feast out before him. He's got a feast spread before him. The table's loaded with every kind of food. It's got all kind of fruits, all kind of vegetables, all kind of meats. It's just sitting there. It's ready to be partaken of. It's ready to be eaten. And he just sits there. And he refuses to eat. That's what it's like when you hear the gospel and you choose not to believe. You've got the feast of the gospel right there before you, that Jesus died, was resurrected, and offers you eternal life. And you sit there and don't receive the message of salvation by faith. God's rest is spread out there before you. Salvation, peace, forgiveness. But understand, you have to take it by faith. God does not force it on you. So the first step to entering into God's rest is to receive the one who brings the rest to your soul. So the question we need to begin with tonight, first and foremost, for everybody in this room, for everybody watching online, is have you trusted in Jesus as your Savior? If you haven't, then that's the first step in the journey of you experiencing the rest that he's talking about here in these verses. If you're standing on the edge of God's rest, but you've not stepped in, do not let unbelief rob you of what God has promised. The second thing I want you to see in these verses comes in verse 3 down through verse 10, and that's the nature of God's rest. So what is this rest that God offers? Well, let's unpack these verses, if you will. Begin with verse 3. For we who have believed enter that rest. So in other words, if you have not believed, you don't enter into the rest. If you have believed, you do enter that rest. For we who have believed enter that rest. As he said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although his works were finished from the foundation of the world. So notice that phrase, we who have believed. Understand that the moment that you trust Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, you begin to enter into God's rest. The rest that he's talking about here, the rest that the Bible speaks of, is not just some future rest out there in heaven. We long for that. We look forward to that day that we're going to rest. We're going to experience the blessings of heaven and the celebration of heaven. But that's not what he's talking about here. He's not talking about the future hope. It's a present reality of what he's talking about. So what does that present reality look like? Well, the writer of Hebrews here points us to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 2, where God rests on the seventh day. Notice verse 4. For he has somewhere spoken, where is he spoken in the book of Genesis? He has somewhere spoken of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. Now don't miss this. God did not rest because he was worn out. God did not rest because he was exhausted and tired from the creation. He is the Almighty. His rest was a celebration of a job well done. His rest was from a creation perfectly made. That's the pattern for the rest that he offers to us. It's a rest from striving. It's a rest from working. It's a rest from trying to earn God's favor, from carrying the weight of your sin on your shoulders yourself. You cannot do it. It's going to weigh you down all along the journey. Notice, as you come to verse 6, verse 6 says, since therefore it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly received the good news failed to enter because of disobedience, again, he appoints a certain day, today, saying through David so long afterward in the words already quoted, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Now, he's already said that back in chapter 3. He said that very same phrase that he quoted there. And he says, when are you to do that? Today. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Verse 8, for if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken of another day later on. So what he's quoting from here is that passage we referenced a while ago in Psalm chapter 95, where God is calling a later generation to enter his rest today. I want to read for you, if you want to turn in your Bibles, you can, Psalm 95, verse 1 down through verse 11, to get the context of what he's speaking about here and what he's referring back to in all these words that he's saying here. So Psalm 95, verse 1 down to verse 11 says, oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts at Meribah as on the day of Massa in the wilderness. Do you remember what that day was? That was the day where Moses was told to go and strike the rock, and the water would come gushing out of it because the people had grumbled and said, you brought us out here to die and we need water. Why don't you give us water? And they were showing their unbelief in God, that God would provide for them, and they had hardened their hearts. They had heard his voice, but they had hardened their hearts as at Meribah, as on the day of Massa in the wilderness. When your fathers put me to the test and put me to the proof, though they had seen my work. So remember, over and over, they've already seen his hand at work in the deliverance from Egypt, in the deliverance through the Red Sea, in the manna that he provided, in the water that he provided before. And so they've seen his proof over and over. They've seen his work. But then verse 10 says of Psalm 95, for 40 years I loathed that generation and said, they are a people who go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Therefore I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. So God is calling this later generation to his rest today, and that tells us that this rest that he's speaking of here is not just about the land of Canaan. It's about something bigger. It's about something spiritual. And so verse 9 uses a special word. Let's just continue on down with verse 9 and then into verse 10. So verse 9 says, so then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. So that word rest that he uses there is the word sabbatimos. It's the word that we would get Sabbath from. It's a Sabbath rest, a picture of ceasing from our works, of trusting in Christ and his finished work on the cross, that you don't have to do anything else. That's what the Israelites should have been doing as they're wandering through the wilderness. They should have known God has not brought us out here to kill us. He's not brought us out here to starve us to death or to thirst us to death. He will provide some way, somehow. But they begin to gripe and they begin to grumble and they begin to complain. So notice what verse 10 goes on to say. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. So let me make this verse plain for you here. When you come to Jesus, before you come to Jesus, let's just put it this way. Before you come to Jesus, most people are trying to do something to earn favor with God. Whether that's through their giving or whether that's through doing philanthropic deeds, helping other people, none of that will save you. None of that brings the true rest into your heart and into your life. When you come to Jesus, you stop trying to work your way to heaven, and you enter His rest. You don't have to work to get your way to heaven. In fact, you couldn't work to get your way to heaven. You don't earn salvation by being good. You don't earn salvation by going to church. You don't earn salvation by giving money. Jesus paid it all on the cross. All to Him I owe. His blood covers your sin. And so when you trust in Him, you rest in His finished work. Not in any works that you could do, but in His finished work. It's like laying down a heavy load and saying, "Thank you, Lord, it's all on you now." That's what you do when you come by faith to trust in Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. Picture it this way. Imagine it this way. A weary hiker who's trudging through a rugged mountain trail. He's carrying a backpack so heavy it's crushing him. His shoulders are aching. His legs are trembling. Every step feels like it might be his last. The trail is steep. The sun is blazing. And he doesn't have any water left. He's trying to make it up to a lodge on the mountain, a place he heard offers shelter and food and rest. So in his mind, he is focused on keeping pressing on, pushing forward, on proving he can make it, so much so that he ignores the signs pointing to a shortcut. Finally, he's exhausted. He's near collapse. He stumbles to a bench where a kind stranger is sitting. The stranger points up to a cable car just a few yards away and says, "Friend, what are you doing killing yourself carrying that load? The cable car will take you straight to the lodge for free. All you've got to do is get on, and it'll carry you the rest of the way." That hiker hesitates, his pride whispering he should keep going on his own, but his strength is gone. He hands over his pack, he steps on the cable car, and it lifts him towards the lodge, and he feels the weight of all that he's been carrying slipping away. And for the first time in days, he breathes easy, and he marvels at the view and at the peace that he's experiencing, knowing that he's headed to rest. When you think about that illustration, that is a picture of the rest that we can have in Jesus Christ in Hebrews chapter 4. We're all like that hiker. We're all burdened by sin. We're carrying around our baggage, our garbage, our sin, our guilt, our shame. We're carrying all of that weight, the exhausting effort that we keep trying to prove ourselves worthy of God's love. And God keeps telling you, "You don't have to prove it. I've already proved it. I've already sent Jesus, my Son, to die on the cross for your sins." And the world just keeps telling us to keep climbing, to work harder, to earn your way. But we're struggling under the weight of our sin. And Jesus stands there pointing to Himself, saying as He does in Matthew 11:28. You might want to jot that verse down. Matthew 11:28, He says, "Come to Me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." You see, the rest of Jesus Christ is the moment that you stop striving and trust Him to carry you. It's the peace of knowing that what He did on the cross was enough. It's the peace of knowing He has finished the work on the cross. And so Hebrews 4 tells us that this rest, as we said a while ago, is not talking just about something out there in the future in heaven. It's a rest, a peace that you can have right now in your heart and in your life. And so, like the hiker, you've got to step out in faith. You've got to get on board. So don't let pride and don't let unbelief keep you struggling under the load of your sin and of your works. Trust in Jesus, enter his rest. And if you have trusted in Jesus, stop going back to the old ways. This rest isn't just for salvation. This rest that he's talking about here is for daily living. So think about it. When you're worried about what tomorrow is going to bring, when you're worried about the bills and the bills are piling up, or when the doctor gives you bad news, understand that you can rest in God's promises. Why? Because he's still on the throne, and he's working all things out for your good and for his glory, as Romans 8:28 tells us. So are you living this evening in the rest of God? Are you living in God's rest? Or are you still trying to strive to carry the load yourself? If you're a believer, then I want to encourage you tonight to stop striving and to start trusting. And if you're not saved, then I want to encourage you to come to Jesus, because he's the only one that can give you true rest, the true rest that your soul craves. The third thing that the writer of Hebrews tells us here in these verses down to verse 13 is he shows us the urgency of entering God's rest in verse 11 down to verse 13. Now, don't miss the urgency in this passage in verse 11. So he says, let us therefore. So just like he began the chapter with the word therefore, he returns to the word therefore after he's explained all what this rest is all about that he's talking about. So he says, therefore, let us therefore strive to enter that rest, so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. Now that word strive in some versions is translated be diligent. What it means is to make every effort to be serious about it. This isn't working out your salvation that he's talking about here in striving. It's about being careful not to miss it through unbelief and neglect. You think about what happened with the Israelites. The Israelites, they fell in the wilderness because they did not trust God. Their example, the writer of Hebrews is telling us, ought to be an example as a warning to us. And so he gives us the reason why you should not be playing games with God, but just trusting God. For verse 12 says, for the word of God is living, active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. So understand some things here. Understand that God's word is alive. It's not just ink on pages. It's alive. It's the voice of God who is speaking to your soul. And that word cuts like a sword. It cuts like a scalpel, like a surgeon using a scalpel to do surgery on us. It exposes what's really in our hearts. You can say a lot of things with your lips, but if your heart is far from the Lord, the word of God is going to expose that. It's going to be like a sword or like a scalpel that's going to do surgery and expose what's truly in your heart. Because think about it. You can fool your friends. You may be able to fool your family. You maybe even are fooling yourself. But you cannot fool God. He sees every thought you have. He sees every motive you do things with. He knows every secret that you have in your life. And one day, you're going to stand before him to give an account. Think about it. You ever had a kid, or maybe you did this as a kid, and you got into the cookie jar or into the cake that mom had sitting on the counter and whatever dessert you were told maybe not to touch, and mom says, who took the cookies or who got into the cake? What did you say? I don't know. And there's chocolate all over your face. There's crumbs all over you. That's how it is with God. You cannot hide from him, because his word shines a light on your heart, and it shows whether you're trusting him or whether you're running from him. Picture a young woman. She's standing in a courtroom, and her heart is pounding as the judge prepares to deliver her verdict. She's been caught in a serious offense, a serious crime, and the evidence is undeniable. There's documents, there's witnesses, even her own words recorded on video. There's no hiding. Every detail of her actions is laid bare before the judge's piercing gaze. And she knows that she's guilty, and the weight of it is crushing her. But then something extraordinary happens. The judge steps down from the bench, looks at her in compassion, and he says to her, "I see it all. Every mistake, every hidden thought, but I've paid your penalty myself. You're free to go. Not because you're innocent, but because I've taken your place." That's the picture of Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13. God sees everything. He sees every thought. He sees every motive. He sees every secret sin. His word is like a spotlight. It exposes the truth of our hearts. But here's the good news. The same God who sees it all is the one who sent Jesus to pay it all. The one who sees it all, the one who knows it all, is the one who sent Jesus who pays it all. You stand before him, fully known, yet fully loved. So don't run from him. Don't try to hide. Step into his rest today by trusting in the finished work of Jesus on the cross. Let him take that guilt that you've been carrying around with you. Let him take that shame that you've been carrying around and that weight upon you. And let him give you peace. A peace that the Bible says passes all understanding. So understand that the judge of all is also the savior of everyone who believes. So listen to God's word today. Get into God's word and let it search your heart. Let me ask, are you, as a believer here tonight, are you resting in Christ? Or are you still trying to do things your own way? Don't put it off. Go back to what verse 7 has to say. Verse 7 says, again, he appoints a certain day. What's the certain day? Today. Saying through David so long afterward, in the words already quoted, "Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts." Why does he say today? Because tomorrow's never promised. And yesterday's already gone. You can't undo what's happened in the past. All you have is today. So enter God's rest today. Listen, God's rest is the sweetest gift that you'll ever receive. It's the peace of knowing your sins are forgiven. It's the peace of knowing that your future is secure. It's the peace of knowing your Savior, Jesus Christ, is sufficient. But you've got to enter it by faith. Remember, it was the Israelites who missed it because of unbelief. And that same danger is knocking at our door. Don't let it rob you of God's promise. And if you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, I beg you, come to him today and say, "Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I cannot save myself. I trust your blood to wash me clean and to give me your rest." And if you're a Christian here tonight, maybe you've drifted away from the Lord and you've not been trusting him like you should. You're worrying instead of resting. You're striving instead of trusting. Let me encourage you to come back to Jesus and lay it all at his feet and leave it all at his feet. Don't bring it to him and then come back to try to pick it up and take it and do something with it again. Leave it with him and trust him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the promise of your rest. Thank you for Jesus, who paid it all, who is everything we could ever ask for or ever need. He paid it all so that we could have peace with you. So, Lord, we ask you tonight, whether we're online or here in person, Lord, we ask you to search our hearts by your word. Save those, Lord, who are lost, and restore those who've wandered away from you. And help us all, Lord, to enter your rest by faith. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. We want to sing this hymn of invitation, Room at the Cross, to give you that opportunity tonight to come to publicly profess that faith, that trusting in Jesus by faith. So as we stand, as we sing, whatever decisions maybe the Lord has laid on your heart, if you're there at home, comment in the comments, because we do want to follow up with you also. So Brother Mike, come and lead us in our invitation. Amen. Hope you got something from that message tonight. We look forward to seeing you back with us on Wednesday. Wednesday, we'll be back in the book of Isaiah once again. So come and join us. It'll be a wonderful blessing, a time of prayer, a time of Bible study that we'll have this Wednesday. And so I want to encourage you to come and join us for that. Continue to keep those people that we mentioned earlier in your prayers. Some of those have some upcoming procedures. Brother Al Pender does, Miss Amy Jackson does, Miss Leanne Wells just got back from hers. So keep all of those in your prayers as they continue to heal, and many others that we mentioned also. But you have a blessed week, a safe week. We'll see you this coming Wednesday at 6 o'clock.